Okay. All right, gentlemen, we'll get started.
Put this for the time being.
For the time being, here, we'll put it over here.
One more little...
Just put it back on the table. We'll finish cleaning up.
All right, we'll clean up a little later. All right, let's, Barbosa, let's do some learning. Okay.
And then
I don't know. All right. I don't know if you've gone through some of the Gemaras about Hanukkah, and they're all in Masechta Shabbos in the second parak by Memadlikim. And there's a famous brayta called My Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? And Rashi explains My Hanukkah al Eze Nes Kavuha. On which nest do they establish Hanukkah? So Rabosai, if Rashi is asking a question on which nest, apparently there's more than one miracle. Mm-hmm. So what are the two basic fundamental miracles? Joseph?
The winning of the war.
Correct.
And the oil.
Excellent. So the question is going to be, why, you know, in the background of these two nisim, of these two great miracles, which miracle actually generated the takana, the establishment of Hanukkah? So, if you remember the brayse of my Hanukkah, Tana Rabbanan, b'chafei Kislev, Yom the Hanukkah, there are 8 days of Kislev, 8 days starting with the 25th of Kislev is Hanukkah, and we don't fast during these days. We don't give eulogies during these days. There's an Issa Tainus and Hesped. And then the brayse goes on to tell you why. Why did they establish Hanukkah? And this is a big surprise, because there's nothing in this brayse that really describes blow by blow the victorious military victory of the Jews over the Yevanim. Instead, all the emphasis here is on Kshenichnasu Lehechal, Yevanim Timus Kol Shmanim. The Greeks had contaminated all the oils. And Kshegavra Malchus Beis Chashmonoi Vinitzchum, and after the Beis Chashmonoi won the wars, Badku V'lo Matzu El Pachechot Shel Shemen, and the Brice goes into great detail describing this little jug of oil. It was Munach B'chos Moshel Kohen Gadol Lo Hayu Bo Lahadik Ela Yom Echad Bilvad. It had enough oil to last for one day. V'nase Bo Nes, and there was a miracle. V'dliku v'menu shmonis yomim, and l'shon acheres kovum v'asim yomim tovim b'hal voda. So it's quite clear that the answer of the brayse is which ness was the background, which ness engendered the takana of Hanukkah. The answer is what?
The Pach Hashem.
That personally comes to me as a surprise. What would you have said? You would have said the war. I mean, the Pach Shem is a great miracle. I'm not denying it. And we're going to sing a lot about it. But, frankly speaking, the life of the Jewish nation is at stake here. It's on the line. I wouldn't have thought that, you know, that the Takan of Hanukkah would be based on the Pach Shem, with all due respect to its dramatic impact. Okay, then that's going to be question number one for tonight.
So I think it's interesting that in Shmoneh Esrei and Birkat HaMazon, we say like Al Anisim, and then we say we made Metadiyahu, we talk about the miracle of the war, not
correct.
The miracle of the top.
That's excellent. A great point that you make. I mean, there's no mention in Al Anisim of the miracle of Pach HaShemen, which according to the Braita
is the Nes.
That's the Nes which engendered Hanukkah. So we look at the Al Anisim, and we see Ato Barachemecha Rabim Ma'atlan Beis Tzorosam Rav Tos Rivam Dantos Dinam Nakatos Nikmosam Asar Tegibor Biad Chaloshim Rav Biad Mi'atim Tmeim Biad Tahorim Bishav Biad Tzadikim. The whole story. There's only one little, shall we say, allusion, a remez to the Nes of Hanukkah, meaning the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, because at the end of Al Anisim it says, V'hidliko neros b'chatzros kodshech. But that addition doesn't seem to even refer to the miracle of the Pach HaShemen. Why do I say so? If somebody would come forward and say, V'achach hidliku neros b'chatzros kodshech, that's a reference to the miracle, I would shoot them down. Why would I shoot them down?
because it's saying that it was ordinary.
Correct. And not only that, look at the whole list. The whole list tells you what they did after the war ended, and they succeeded, and they were victorious. The whole long list. And amongst the various avodos, you know, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, one of them was Hidliku Neros, which means the mitzvah of the menorah. So this is really something interesting, that in Al HaNisim, which is our Hodah, our Thanksgiving to Hashem, there doesn't seem to be even a footnote about the very miracle which engendered the establishment of the days of Hanukkah. I want to point out something else. If you take a look at Mo's Tzur, which is the song that we sing in order to praise God, we say Yevanim Nikbitzu Alai, and again it's the Yevanim against the Jews, and then it says Bnei Vina Yemei Shmona Kavu Shir Urinanim. There, after the war, there seems to be a ness of the Pach HaShemen. So it's interesting. If we line up this, you know, if you had a scorecard here, on one side of the fence you have the Brice of my Hanukkah and Yevonim Nikbitzu Alai, Nasa Nesla Shoshanim. There was a miracle of the Shemen. On the other side you have the Al HaNisim, where the Shemen doesn't seem to even get mentioned at all. Now, interesting that the Chashmonaim are given a name in this paragraph of Yevonim Nikbitzu Alai. What's the name that they're given?
Bimei Chashmonaim.
They're called Chashmonaim, but what else are they called? Bnei Vina. Now, you know that human wisdom in the Torah is divided into three categories. And what are they? Chachma, Bina, Vidas. So if we call Bnei Vina, then that's a reference to what? To the second of the third of the three attributes, Bina. And Rashi, there's a pasuk in Shmos, it says, with regard to Bitzalel, God declares, Amaleo so ruach Elokim, bechachma ubitvuna. Tvuna is another conjugation, the shoresh is Bina. Ubidas. So we have Chachma, Bina, and Das with regard to Bitzalel, who is the architect of the Mishkan. Rashi says, Chachma, Masha Adam Shomea Dvarim Me'achirim V'lomit. In other words, Chachma means I'm able to transmit wisdom to you, and you somehow receive that wisdom. Tvuna, Rashi says, Mavin Dvar Milibo Mitoch Dvarim Shalomat. What does that mean? What do you say, Menashe?
Chachma is like knowledge, and Bina is like internalization of the knowledge.
Well, again, you might be right. I mean, that's a fancy word, internalization, but just if you keep a little closer to the literal words of Rashi, Rashi says, Mavin Dvar Mitoch Mashalomat. What does that mean?
Being able to apply.
I don't know about apply. Again, you guys are all saying something very sophisticated,
understand.
But exactly, you understand something beyond that which was taught to you. So you come into a class, and the chacham, you know, the wise person teaches you X, you add, you expand and embellish the knowledge that you've already received. That's called Bina. Mevin Dovar Mitoch Hadvarim Shalomad. He adds something. See, that's why the key to success in Chachma is to be able not to just to hear, not just to internalize, but to be able to add something. You know, that's the real, that separates the men from the boys, so to speak, those who can really embellish what they learn and go a step further. Now the Rambam, at the end of Hilchas Chanukah, says something very, very famous. Do you remember this Rambam? Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'ot. It is the most beloved mitzvah. He says a person has to be very careful, Tzarech Adam Li Zarba, Kidei Lahudia Hanes, in order to publicize the miracle. And the Rambam therefore goes on to say that a person who is destitute and normally we would be exempt from any other mitzvah, because what's the maximum amount of my assets that I have to spend on any given mitzvah, on any specific mitzvah?
1/20.
One fifth, 20%. In this case, he has to sell the shirt off his back, which is certainly more than 20% of his assets, in order to purchase shemen. And why? The Rambam says, "Kedei lahos lahudia hanes ulahosif." Again, the word lahosif. Hosif means to embellish, to add, and go beyond. Lahosif b'shvach hakel v'odayalo al hanisim sha'asalon. It's unbelievable that you have to add something. Like, I was always thinking of the following. This is just a mashal that I made up in my mind. Imagine you're walking down the street with someone, and you get to a corner, and you're about to turn the corner, and all of a sudden he points out to you, take a look as you turn the corner, there's a beautiful tree that's growing over there. You know? So he calls your attention to something that you might not have noticed. That's what we call the power of observation. If somebody points out to you something. So lahosif b'shvach hakel, you have to add something. You know, notice something of significance that maybe a person wouldn't normally notice. And here we come to the famous question of the Beit Yosef. Who is the Beit Yosef?
Rav Yosef
Kara, the author of not only Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch. And he asks the famous question. Who remembers the famous question of the Beit Yosef on Chanukah?
Like, why is it 8 days or not?
Exactly. I'll read to you his language. Why is it 8 days? He says, after all, the first day was not a miracle, because they had enough shemen to last for one day. Lama kavu shmonas yomim, kevan shashemen shebepach hoybo kedei lahadlik laila achas. They had enough volume of oil to last for one day. Nimtzah shlo nasenes ella b'shiva leilos. There were only 7 nights of miracles. So why do we celebrate, as we say, all 8 nights, right? So that's the famous question of the Beit Yosef. So let's just summarize some of our questions. Question number one is, why does the Braisa and Yevanim Nikvetzu Alai emphasize the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, whereas the Al HaNisim Tefillah emphasizes the Nitzachon of the Melchama? That's question number one. Question number two, what does it mean that the establishment of Ner Chanukah and the Mitzvah of Chanukah was B'nei Vina? What's the aspect here of Bina to go beyond? Number three, why does the Rambam classify this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as Chavivahi Ad Ma'od? It has such a great significance that the Ani, the poor person, has to sell the shirt off his back. And finally, the fourth question is the Beit Yosef's famous question, why is Chanukah 8 days? It should only be 7. Go ahead, Menashe, want to say something?
Yeah, you're just up. Jumping back to question number one. Does Malot Tzur not mention anything else about the military victory?
It does, because again, let's read it again. Yevanim nikvetzu alai, right? They jumped on us, they pounced on us, they subjugated us. Partzu chomos migdalai, they penetrated into the walls that surrounded the Beit HaMikdash, which means the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash. Vitimu kol hashvanim.
Right.
And they contaminated all the oils. And then it says, Nasa Nesla Shoshanim. Right? Minosa Kankanim. What was ever left over in the Kankan here is another word for Pach. But there's very little of a remez here to the Nitzach.
What about the other paragraphs?
All the others reflect on the history of the Jewish people, all the different exiles. There's even a paragraph there about Haman, you remember?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, Jake, you wanted to say something?
Doesn't Rav Moshe Kairo, doesn't he...
Rav Yosef Kairo. Who's I don't know who Rav Moshe Kairo is. He may be a member of the family, but I don't know him.
No, I don't know who that is either.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't he give an answer to that question being that the 8th day is celebrating the military victory?
Oh, very good. Excellent. We'll come back to that soon. He offers a number of answers. I'll just summarize some of his answers for you. His first answer is that on the first night, since they knew it would take 8 days to replace the shemen with new shemen, So they divided up the Shemen into 8/8, meaning they had absolute reliance on the miracle. And the miracle actually took place on the first night, that 1/8 of the volume, the normal volume would have been 8 times that volume, that to last for the full day, it lasted for a full day. The second answer, he says, that after they put Shemen into the menorah, Kishir, they actually put all the Shemen that they had into the menorah, but even on the first night, only 1/8 of the Shemen was consumed. That's his second answer. So there was a miracle even on the first night. Then he gives a third answer, in which he says that on the first night, they found... Just 1 second. The achash enosu shemen kishir nishar apach molik vatchila. Okay. Inami shebaleil rishon nosnu kol shemen benos adolku kol alayla ba boker matzu aneris maleim v'chein b'chol alayla v'alayla. Okay, the third answer is just a slightly different version of the second answer. So far, I don't see the Beit Yosef himself gave that answer, but I know others did. You know, you're right. They're definitely others. What I'd like to do with you is study two comments of the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah. And they're both, again, I don't think you have it on your pages, they're both in Sefer Shmos. One is in Perek Yud Gimel, that's in Parshas Bo, and the other is in Parshas Vayigash, which we'll read not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos. Now let me just say a few words of introduction. The Ramban, Nachmanides as it's called in English, was one of the greatest that we had. You know, if you had to count on one hand in the last 1,000 years the great giants that we had, the Ramban would definitely be up there. Maybe the Rambam would be number one, or Rashi, and then the Ramban would be a close second or third. And the Ramban's magnum opus, in my opinion, I'm a little bit prejudiced, is the Ramban's Perush al Torah. It's enormous. It's tremendous. All the fundamentals of Judaism are there in the Ramban if you'll just be willing to dedicate yourself to the course. Be that as it may, one of the most famous Rambans in his whole commentary on the Torah, which by the way, Art School published in English, 7 volumes, you have to be rich to buy it, is his commentary at the end of Parshas Bo, in which he talks about why Yetziat Mitzrayim is so significant in all our mitzvot. So many mitzvot, over and over again, the Torah says, remember Mitzrayim. And he speaks about the fact that Mitzrayim represents all the great miracles that took place, whether it be the Eser Makos, whether it be the Yetziah, and then of course there's the Kriyas Yamsuf. And what's the significance of all these mitzvot being connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he says the following. I'm going to read to you select parts of this long presentation of the Ramban. He writes, V'ata now omar lecha klal b'tam mitzvos rabbis. I want to give you an underlying reason that explains many, many mitzvos. And here at this point, he goes into a historical presentation about the development of idol worship. He goes back to the time of Enosh, and they began to see the sun and the moon and the stars, and they started attributing powers to those celestial spheres. And slowly but surely, they began believing that if Almighty God had once had providence and involvement in this earth, He moved Himself, with a capital H, behind the scenes, and He transmitted the powers and the control over the universe to these various celestial spheres. And that became the worship of the sun and the moon, what we call Avodat Kochavim Umazalot. And he says the following, Kasher Yirtze Elokim B'Eda U'B'Yochid V'Yasim Mofes, when God chooses a particular nation on the face of the earth, and He brings about miracles to save that nation, Bishinui minhago shel olam, and He changes the natural course of the universe. Vitivo, and He literally undermines nature. He says, Yitbarer lakol, it becomes clear to everyone. Bitul hadeot ha'ela kulam, to undermine and disprove all the beliefs of the idol worshippers. Simply when God brings about miracles on behalf of one nation. And then he goes through the miracles and he shows you how every single tenet of our faith is proven by these miracles. Hamofet hanifla, the radical change of nature. More sheyesh la'olam eloka, there's a God in the world. Mechadsho, who created the world. But more important, viodea, he's aware of what's going on. Not like the idol worship said that he moved away, you know, he climbed up to the seventh zvul, you know, he's no longer concerned, no longer weird. Umashgiach, how would you translate the word mashgiach in this context?
Watches.
Yeah, divine providence. Are you familiar with that term? He watches over. He actually makes sure that man is going on the right path. V'yachal, and he's omnipotent. All these elements in our belief are established, says the Ramban, by these otot umoftim, these miraculous events that go beyond nature. But then the Ramban adds something else. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa ot umofet b'chol dar. Not every generation is worthy of these fantastic miracles. Li'enei kol rasha, because God doesn't want to bring about His miracles in front of, in the presence of, the evildoers, o kofer, or the heretics who deny. Is therefore Yitzavel Tanu, since these miracles that change nature are so rare and far between, we are commanded Shenasa Tamid Zikaron Viot Lasher Ra'u Einenu, that we have to make an oath or a zikaron to remember that which transpired, that which took place. In other words, it becomes part of our transmission, of our tradition, of what we call the Mesira, of passing it on from one generation to the other. He goes on and he says, V'natik ha-davar al-banenu u'bneihem, we pass it on to our children, and they pass it on to their children, up until the dar achron, until the last generation. And therefore it's absolutely critical that so many of our mitzvot embody within them a memory to remind us of those great miracles when God intervened for the sake of the Jewish people. And therefore, for example, we have the mitzvah of mezuzah. And what's inside the mezuzah? You guessed it, Yitziat Mitzrayim is in there. Right? The last parsha of Kriyat Shema, which ends with Birchat Kriyat Shema, follows up with Emet V'Yatziv, and we describe Yitziat Mitzrayim. And this is all a fulfillment of the Pasuk L'man Tizkar Yom Tzeitchom Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. We're commanded to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim all the days of our life. Vakol, and all this is Liot Lanu B'chol Adorot, so that we will have in all generations a dut, a testimony, the moftim, the miracles, v'shalo yishtakhu, that they shouldn't be forgotten, v'lo yiyah pitchon peh l'kofer l'hakhish emun elokit, that no heretic will come along and have the ability to deny our faith in God. And he goes on to say that you can buy a mezuzah for one zuz. I don't know where they sell a mezuzah for one zuz, but okay, maybe at the time the Ramban, a zuz was worth more. Actually,
you get a goat for two zuz.
That's right, a goat probably today sells for how much? $500 or something like that. So maybe a zuz is $250. Okay, you don't have to spend that much on a mezuzah. He says, the koveh b'pitchon, he puts it on his threshold. And what he has in mind when he puts up the mezuzah, nitkaven binyana lehodot b'chidush ha'olam, to acknowledge that God created the world. Does anybody know, by the way, which great philosopher amongst the non-Jews was the first to deny creation? He was a Greek.
Aristotle.
Exactly, Aristotle. Excellent. Aristotle believed in what's called the eternity of the universe. The universe is eternal. There was no moment in time when the universe didn't exist. And that was the fear of Aristotle. The Ramban is going to attack Aristotle very fiercely, you know, with a strong polemic argument. But not only does putting up a mezuzah, which is bought for one zuz, acknowledge God's creation of the world, but also yidiat haborei, God's knowledge in what's going on in this world, vashkachato, and therefore God intervenes in the history of man, saves the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. The entire story of the redemption of our forefathers from Mitzrayim is the story of hashkachat Hashem, what we call divine providence. Also, what Yitziat Mitzrayim proves It establishes nevuah, prophecy. Why does Yitziat Mitzrayim establish prophecy? The belief in prophecy, that God transmits His word to man.
This is mass prophecy to everyone.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's going to really happen at the time of Kriyat Yamsuf. But even before you get to Kriyat Yamsuf, the Eser Makos were all foretold by whom?
Moshe.
By Moshe, through Nevuah. And he would warn Paro before each one of the Makos. And that itself is a very fundamental point in our, a tenet of our faith that we have to believe in. V'amein b'chol pinot ha-Torah. Now if Moshe is the prophet, then his Torah, which we have, has to be accepted because it's the word of God. So basically, Yitziat Mitzrayim is fundamentally the backdrop and the evidence for our belief in the entire Torah. Ulefichach amru, therefore Chazal say, you have to be careful, b'mitzvah kala. You remember where this appears? Hevizayir b'mitzvah kala? Kala with a kuf. Menash with a kuf, not with a kuf. We're not looking for a kala now. But kala with a kuf means what?
Easy.
An easy mitzvah. In other words, you buy a mezuzah, you put it up, no big deal, but you have to be very careful about it. Shekulan, all the mitzvot are chamudot and chavivot ma'od. They're very endearing because they are so fundamental in terms of conveying and penetrating into our hearts and souls all the beliefs that are the tenets of the establishment of our faith. Shebechol shash adam modeh bahen, whenever a person implements a mitzvah, what is a person really saying? What is he declaring? Not in words, verbally, but implicitly, when he fulfills a mitzvah. What's he really saying?
You're really giving us the opportunity to do it?
He's first of all saying there's a God, and second of all, God commanded him, and therefore he is obligated, committed to fulfill the will of God. That's what every mitzvah is, no matter how simple a mitzvah is. I wake up in the morning and I put on tzitzit, right? So I'm basically saying there's a Torah, and God commanded me through the prophet Moses in the Torah to put on tzitzit. I've already acknowledged with any single mitzvah so many of the tenets of our faith. The kavanat kol mitzvot, and that's the underlying reason of all the mitzvot, says the Ramban, that no day love we should acknowledge him with a capital H, Shehu Barano, he created us, and his purpose in creating us was to give us his mitzvot. And all this is embodied in every mitzvah, no matter how simple it might be. And then the Ramban throws out what I call a bomb. This is dropping a bomb. This is perhaps one of the most famous statements of the Ramban in his entire commentary on the Torah. He says the following. He says, of course, we have these bombastic miracles in which God changes the entire course of nature, the causality, cause and effect. Scientifically, none of the makos make any sense. These are clear-cut miracles. These are nisim mifursamim, they're public in nature. But he says, it goes beyond that. He says, min hanisim hagdolim hamefursamim, because we believe in the great miracles, the dramatic and profound miracles in which God changes nature, adam modeh, man is meant to admit, benisim hanistarim. Who can tell me what nisim nistarim is? It's almost a contradiction in terms. Hidden miracles. Wait a second. If it's a miracle, why is it hidden? Is it hidden because it happened to me privately in my backyard? Nobody saw it? I was tanua about it?
No.
What makes it hidden?
It's something that like is hidden to you.
You don't know it was God.
It's hidden to everyone. Why?
It's something that seems normal.
Exactly. It can be explained and attributed to the normal, natural course of events. It looks like nature. V'heim yisod kol ha-Torah kuli. He says the foundation of the entire Torah is the belief in nisim nistarim. Why is the belief in hidden miracles, as you call them, the belief that everything that happens in my life, which looks like it's the normal, natural cause and effect experience, why is the belief that it's a miracle, that it's coming from God, why is that fundamental? Why does that form the very yesod, the foundation of the entire Torah?
Because we believe that God encompasses all and He's doing everything. So we believe, like, in the oneness of God, you believe in the
okay, of, excellent. But there's another point over here that the Ramban makes, and that's reward and punishment. Belief in Schar V'Onesh is the foundation of the Torah. The Torah was given to us with a challenge. We were granted freedom of choice. And if we make the right decisions, we're rewarded. Everything that happens to us is divinely inspired. He says the following. Ein lecha adam, sorry, ein adam, man doesn't have, ein l'adam chelek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu, a man cannot claim that he has a portion of the Torah of Moshe, ad she'namin, until he believes, b'chol mikreinu shekulam nisim, that everything that happens to us is a nes. Ein b'hem teva u'minhago shel olam, it doesn't happen naturally, based on the course of events of cause and effect. It's a miracle.
This is the Rambam?
The Ramban, with Ramban. A nun, Nachmanides. Everything is a miracle. Everything that happens. It's all reward and punishment. It's all part of a divine scheme. Don't attribute it to nature. It looks like nature, but that's because you're fooled. You're fooled to believe, based on what the naked eye sees, in your perception, it's natural. It's nature. Correct? But the Ramban says it's not nature. It's not nature at all. Now, wait a second. If the Ramban is talking about events that transpire in the life of a nation, of a community, niha. But who says the Ramban is talking about me as an individual? And the Ramban talks to Berzon and he says the following. Bein b'rabim u'bein b'yachid. Whether we're talking about the many, or we're talking about the great populace of the world, the nations, or we're talking about the yachid, each individual. And therefore, if we are dedicated to fulfill the mitzvah Hashem, then Yatzlichenu Scharo, God will reward us. This is the reward and punishment concept. And it's all built on the belief in miracles. Says the Ramban, the purpose of a miracle, which is supernatural, which means God vitiates the law of nature and changes the natural course of events, is to bring us to the belief in Nisim Nistarim, to understand that everything that happens in our life is a Nes, it's coming from Hashem. That's the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. And then we have the Ramban in Parshas Vayigash. And here the Ramban adds a whole new element to his presentation. He says the following. What about the story of Yocheved? Yocheved was a great miracle. And she gave birth at an older age. It's interesting. The Torah dedicates an entire parsha to a woman who gives birth at an older age. Who's that? Who do I have in mind? Sarah Imenu. That Sarah gives birth at an older age. Yocheved also gave birth at an older age. And yet the Torah doesn't say a word about that. And Rabbi Avram, anybody know who Rabbi Avram is in the Ramban's commentary on the Torah? That's the Ben Ezra. You heard of Rabbi Avram Ben Ezra? He was the great commentary. Hey Shivi Amar. He says, Lama lo hizkir ha-katuv ha-pela shenasa ima shaholida Moshe. Wow. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe at what age? Anybody want to know? Vehi bat mea u'shloshim shana. She was 130 years old. Sarah was less than 100. Ve'lama hizkir dvar Sarah, shaita bat tishim, she was 90. And here in the case of Yocheved, she was 130. He says, "V'hinei pen yiyeh chacham be'enav b'stirat divrei rabotenu." The Ramban thinks that if you read the Ibn Ezra, you might come to contradict the words of our rabbis, that Yocheved was indeed this age. She was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe. Ani tzarich lanot elav. I have to give a response to Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is bothered. Yocheved was a greater miracle than that of Sarah Yimenu. Yocheved is not mentioned as a miracle. I mean, she's mentioned in the Torah, and yet Sarah's the big deal. Says the Ramban, Vani Omer, I'll tell you the following. Ki al kol panim yiyeh davar Yocheved pele gadol. Even if I grant you that Yocheved is a greater miracle, however, it's min ha-nisim ha-nistarim. It's nistar. It was hidden. Why was it hidden? Says the Ramban, if the purpose of a nes when God intervenes and changes the laws of nature, is to convey to us that this was a great miracle. And we have to believe in the miracles of God and the providence of God and His involvement in our lives, then Yocheved would have been a bomb. Why? What's unique about Sarah? Says the Ramban, Ki anisim hanasim al yidei navi, sheitnabei kein mitchila. If a prophet prophesizes before the miracle transpires, that's a great miracle. Because then we believe in God and His prophets. However, Nasim Eleim Lazor Litzadik Alachrit HaRasha, but if God brings about a miracle to protect the life of a tzaddik, or to destroy the life of a rasha, Lo Yazkiro BaTorah, it will not be mentioned in the Torah. There were many, many miracles that transpired over the course of Jewish history, and they're completely omitted from the Torah. And why is that? Because they weren't predicted by a Navi. That's the Rabban's Chiddush here in Parshas Vayigash. And he goes on and he says, Lama Yazkirema Katuv, which miracles does the Torah choose to mention, to incorporate in the Tanakh? It's only those miracles from which we believe Yesodot HaTorah, we understand the fundamentals of the Torah, Benisim Anistarim, and we'll believe that everything in our lives is a miracle, even though it's hidden within nature. The Tama Torah, the purpose of the Torah, Ein b'chol inyano rak nisim lo tevu minak, that everything that happens in our life according to the Torah is a nes, and it's not teva. Shere yiudei haTorah kulam osos mosim, all the rewards that the Torah grants us for all our actions and our mitzvos, they're all miracles. They're all ototim oftim. He says v'chol tfiloteinu, and the fact that God responds to our prayers is nisim v'niflos. These are miracles as well. Ela, ein b'hem shinui mifursam b'tivo shel olam. We don't see. You know, if I pray to God that I should get, you know, some money in the bank because my bank account is low, and all of a sudden I wake up and lo and behold, some money came in from somewhere. I have a friend, I don't know if you know Rabbi Falk, he's in Telson, which is up the block from us here, the next town over after Mvaseret. So Rabbi Falk tells the story that he needed to pay a certain bill, and it was $360. Or $362, I don't remember the exact number. And he didn't have the money. The next day, he finds out that a great uncle of his in the States passed away and left him a little small Yerusha of $362. The exact sum of money. So that's what you'd call a nes that's not mefursam, it's not so public, it's not so demonstrative, right? B'tivo shel olam, it's within nature. Okay, it happened to me. But you know, it's not just happenstance. He says that when does a miracle have that impact? That it leads us to belief in Hashem, and to believe that everything that happens in our lives is a nes. When is the great Pela? When it's predicted and foretold by the prophet. However, all the other miracles that happen to individuals, as great as they are not recorded in the Torah because it's a nes nistar, in the sense that it won't bring us to the ultimate goal of belief in nisim. Etc. And therefore, in the case of Sarah, it's a Pele Gadol. And why? Because of, again, all the biological reasons, right? She was too old, she didn't have an Orach Kanoshim, but her miracle is going to be revealed and testified to in the Torah, because it was predicted by the Malachim, the angels, the Malachi Shars who came before she gave birth. Whereas Yemei Yocheved, even though it's a great miracle, he gives all sorts of explanations and biological explanations, and it wasn't foretold by a Navi, and therefore it's not called a Pele Gadol. It's not the kind of miracle that's going to bring us to belief in all miracles, meaning in Nisim Nistarim, and it's left out of the Torah. Okay, a few more minutes and then we'll try to wrap it up. The Medrash Tehillim says on the Pasuk Al Kein Lo Yakumu Rishayim Bamishpat that the evildoers will not succeed in the ultimate judgment. The Lev Ksilim Lochein Elo Haminim Shaomrim Tumtam Hub Ha'ola. These are the heretics who call the world Tumtum. Does anybody know what a Tumtum is?
It's like someone who doesn't have.
It's not clear what they're. You can't see their genitals, what their genitals. You don't know what the gender of the being is, and that confusion is called a tumtum. So tumtum becomes the word for a suffix for ambiguity. And in the biurim here on the bottom, it says ha'olam etzlam b'safek. They walk around in life as, I guess you'd call it, agnostics. B'safek mi bara. The Osama Amina Bashem, they don't know whether to believe in God, Enom Amina Bashem, and they think the world is like a tumtum, we don't know where it came from, what its nature is. He says that they believe Shabbat B'mikra, everything that happens, it's all happenstance, all chance. V'hudas HaKofrim, HaOmrim HaOlam Kadmon, and it's also indicative of those who denied the creation of the world, and they attribute the world to eternity. It always exists. That's called Kadmus Ha'olam. And as I said before, which philosopher maintained the idea of the eternity of the universe?
Aristotle.
Aristotle. And the Ramban mentions Aristotle, if not by name, but he hints at it. In his Perush on Parshas Achrimos, he says, Hayivani, he calls him the Greek, he was the great Greek philosopher, Asher Hikrish Kol davar zulatea murgash lo. He denied anything that wasn't perceived by sense perception. This is what's called, I don't know if you're familiar with the word, empirical philosophy. Empiricism means the belief that only that which you see exists. If you can't see it, if you can't test it in a laboratory, then it just doesn't exist. The great scientist was Aristotle. He was really the founder of modern science. The kol inyan asher lo hasig elav b'sfaras ha'inu emes. Anything that you can't perceive with one of the five senses is not true and it doesn't exist. And this is the individual that the Ramban attributes to this individual, Aristotle, the beginning of the end of the belief in God. And elsewhere, the Ramban uses very strong language against Aristotle. It's very interesting historically. The Ramban authored a drasha, which is published in Kitvei Ramban, called Toras Hashem Tmima, which means the perfection of the Torah. The perfection of the Torah exceeds, says the Ramban, that's his thesis, the perfection of the universe. And in that drasha, he says the following, Tir'eh achzariyut rosh ha-philosophim. He calls the head of the philosophers, meaning Aristotle, Achzarim. He's the paradigm of cruelty. The Koshy of Yimcha Shmo. Wow. He says Yimach Shmo about Aristotle. That's a very heavy name. Very heavy curse, so to speak. Shu Makhish Kamed Varm Shero Rabin Ve'inu Anachnu. Things that we have a tradition because our forefathers saw them. These miracles. Aristotle denies them. Anachnu ra'inu amitut v'nitparsem ba'olam. We know about these miracles and we pass them on in tradition from one generation to the other. The kasha kamu ha'yevonim, when the Greeks rose to power, v'heim am chadash shelo nachlu chochma, they really weren't part of the tradition of chochma. This is an interesting statement of the Ramban. Even though they were great scholars, but their scholarship and their wisdom was something that they created. Come Isha Yadua, this individual, this great philosopher, Aristotle, got up, v'lo hemin, and he didn't believe rak b'murgash, except for that which he can touch, he can feel, he can see. V'chipes chachmos murgashos. And he looked for sciences and wisdom that were based on sense perception, on empirical belief. V'hikchish haruchaniyut, and he denied all of spirituality. The Greeks are fighting a battle against the Jewish people. They don't believe that there is a divine intervention. They don't believe in things that are spiritual. They deny miracles. They didn't see the miracles and therefore they don't believe in them. They don't have the tradition. This is a new nation. and the nation of Yavan is going to deny this entire miracle thing. Is Mumela, if we come back to our original question, why is it that the original takana in the Brice of Maichanakal, Eze Nes Kavua, was because of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen? Because for the Jewish people, the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, insofar as it undermines the law of nature, of causality, it is the basis for so much belief in everything that we have, because the Ramban's thesis that from the Nisim HaMefursamim, meaning the obvious miracles, we come to believe in the Nisim HaNistar, which means in the Hashgachat Hashem, in the divine intervention and providence in our everyday lives. So the Ness, which is obvious to the eye, is going to teach us and reveal to us about the Nisim that are not obvious and that are not apparent to the eye. And this is all to undermine the philosophers of the Greeks who believe that I only believe in what I see. I didn't see any miracles. I don't believe that there's some sort of divine providence that's involved in human behavior and human life. And this, says the Ramban, is the Rosh HaPhilosophim. This is the head philosopher of the Greeks. And they're going to fight a battle against the Jewish people and our religion. I want to finish up our discussion with one piece in the Maharal Miprag. And he wrote a book, the Maharal Miprag, on Ner Chanukah. That was his subject. It's called Ner Mitzvah. And again, the words of the Maharal Miprag are very profound. I'm not saying that I can do justice and understand them, but we'll give it a shot. He quotes the Brice of Mai Chanukah. And Lo Matzu El Apach Echad Shel Shemen, etc., etc., Venasa Bones, Hidliku Shmonis Yom. Vim Tomer, and if you'll ask, Vichi Bishvil Shenasal and Nespa Hadloka. So what? They had a miracle in the Hadloka in the Nair. Sheba Migdosh? What's the big deal? For that, are you Kovim Chanukah? We deserve a special, a kvius, an establishment of a holiday 8 days long with its own mitzvah because of this miracle in the Pach HaShemen, says the Maral. What's the big deal? We have a chiyuv lahodos lahalil tashem, to recite halil, acknowledge his greatness and sing his praises, express our thanksgiving. He says there were many other miracles that happened throughout Jewish history. If you open up, for example, Sefer Melachim, you know, the Jewish military battle against Aram, or their defeat of Assyria, and many other wars, was all miraculous. He says, I can explain it to you. Kavanat ha'Yevanim levatel ha'Torah v'Kedusha shel Yisrael. The ultimate goal of the Yevanim was to undermine the Torah and the sanctity of Israel. Because the concept of Torah of mitzvah is lemala mi'sechel, it's above nature. It belongs to sichlit elokit. It's a mila sichlit elokit. It belongs to some sort of divine, spiritual wisdom. Ubavadai bitul haTorah hu bitul Yisrael, and if they fight against the Torah, ultimately they're going to undermine the Jewish people. Because what do we have? All we have is the Torah. He says, "Umitzvah zot gam ken hi beveit hamikdash," and not only that, they wanted to undermine and contaminate the Beit Hamikdash. Ki kol kavadat yevanim, what they wanted to do is to destroy the Torah and the sanctity of Israel. The Ikar Kedushas Yisrael, and the main primary sanctity of Israel is where? In the Beit HaMikdash. That was enemy number one. Ulefichach, and therefore Kavu Hadlakat HaNeirot. We have the mitzvah of lighting the candles. Zecher L'Nes, to remember that miracle. She'ikar HaShekavu Yimei Chanukah. If you ask me why they made Chanukah into a holiday, is Bishvil because we won and we triumphed over the Yevonim, we won the war. But it didn't seem to them that victory, Hayal Yedei Nes, maybe it wasn't Chaschal, it wasn't divine intervention, maybe it was the course of nature. We see even today, you know what's going on, for example, in different places where you have terrorists. I don't know if you heard about it in Australia. You know, one terrorist can hold on to 60 hostages and more. We see the power of the small. So possibly we would say that even though it was Rabin Biad Miatim, nevertheless it was natural. We could give all sorts of military explanations to the victory of the Chashmonaim. Is Lefichach, says the Maral, Nasa Hanes al Yedei Neirot HaMenorah, There had to be a miracle in the menorah with the shemen. Again, from the nisim gluyim, from the nisim mefursamim, to use the Ramban's terminology, we come to believe in the nisim nistarim. It's also a miracle from Hashem. And therefore, we can come back to our original question, back in the beginning, and ask ourselves about the division here. In terms of Hodah, if the Jewish nation has to express thanks to Hashem, what do we have to be thankful for in Chanukah? That we won the war. This was the salvation, the redemption of the Jewish people from Yaman. But if you ask, would Chazal have established a holiday based on the Nitzachon and Muhammad, the military victory? The answer is no. Because somebody might have come up with an explanation and the whole purpose of the Ness would be lost. The purpose of the Ness is that we believe that everything that happens in the history of the Jewish people is all part of a divine scheme, it's all part of a miracle. But we can only get to that belief through the miracle that is mefursam, that is an obvious undermining of the laws of causality, of laws of nature. That's the Pach HaShemen. Is Memela, we could say the following, that when you ask the question, Al Eizeh Nes Kavua, why did they establish the miracle? The answer is only because of the Nes Pach HaShemen. Without the Nes Pach HaShemen, there wouldn't have been a conduit, there wouldn't have been a way of achieving our belief that the other things that happened to the Jewish people, all that transpired, was also a Nes. But if you ask me in Tefillah, in Hodah, what should we be thanking Hashem for? The answer is, no doubt, the salvation of the Jewish people, the Milchama, Al Anisim, Al Apurkan, Al Gvuras, Al Chuos, Al Milchamos, that, and the entire Al Anisim, the whole section of Al Anisim, and the whole formulation of the Al Anisim is all about the victory over the Yevanim, the salvation of the Jewish people. So when it says at the end of Al Anisim, Vidliko Neros Pechatzos Kodshecha, that's not really the Iker, that's not the primary reason why we thank Hashem during these 8 days and recite Hallel. And then perhaps we could say, Yevanim Nikvitzu Alai, the reason why we emphasize B'nei Vina, because the concept of Bina means that I learn a lesson and then I add something. I experience the miracle of Nas HaNes B'Shoshanim Minosar Kankanim, the little Pach HaShem that lasted for 8 days, but I add something. What do I add? How do I extend my understanding of that miracle? I now believe that everything that transpired, all the milchamos, all the battles, and all the struggles against the Greeks, it was all part of one miracle. And therefore the Rambam says that mitzvah ner Chanukah, mitzvah chavivo, kidei lahosif, the Rambam emphasized the word lahosif, to add something. The entire purpose of Chanukah is to add. You start with something small, something limited, circumscribed, and you add something, you expand upon it. And then it makes sense that we start with the first night of Chanukah. And the first night of Chanukah commemorates the fact that they found the Pach HaShemen. And that's going to lead us to a jumping off of another 7 days of miracle. So basically the 8 days of miracle really, the 8 days of Chanukah, excuse me, really divides up into two different component parts. There's the one day, the first day, and there's the other 8 days. By the way, what bracha do we add on the first day that doesn't exist on the other days? Shechiyanu, excellent. Because Shechiyanu v'kimanu means this is a special time period. We have the Pach HaShemen. Now, the question is, how do we celebrate that Pach HaShemen? How do we duplicate that miracle? So we light the Ner Chanukah night after night for another 7 days. The first day represents the concept of Chanukah, the goal of Chanukah. It's not really Nisim Mefursamim, because again, on the first night there was no Nes. First night they had ample volume of oil to last for that night. But the point is that we have to understand that even something that's normal, that's natural, that can be explained and attributed to Teva, even that's a ness. So we have these two components. We have the 7 days of absolute obvious miracle, but we have that one day, which I think is the most important day, and that's the lesson that the Ramban says that min hanisim afursamim node benisim hanistarim, that we understand based on these great miracles what it means in our daily lives, both as individuals and as part of the Jewish people. So I just want to thank you and wish everyone a success in taking out of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is amazing. There's amazing capacity, amazing potential, and opportunity to see such beautiful things in that Ner Hanukkah, and take away with a real impact on our souls. You know, you gentlemen are here in Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully, you'll stay beyond the year, but right now you're here for a year, and you have to really exploit all the opportunities that you have. And they're wonderful, and I'm glad to have gotten to know you, and I hope to get to know you even better in the course of the year, the balance of the year. And we should always be together to celebrate the Nisim and the flows of HaKadosh Baruch.
Amen. Amen. We are the poor, 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 we are the poor,